Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
Well, we're continuing our series from now until eternity. So let's do a little review for those that might have missed a week or two. So we talked about our timeline and we identified ourselves as kind of right here. We're in the church. We talked about the fact that some have already gone to heaven. They're blessed little rascals. They're up there having a good time with Jesus while we're down here slaving away on earth. We discussed the rapture, what'll happen and what needs to happen before the rapture can take place. We identified as what? Nothing. Nada. It could happen at any moment. It's imminent. And then last week we talked about what we're going to be doing in heaven after the time of the rapture when we're with Jesus. Now, we spent the whole week last week talking about that subject. But the Bible has a whole lot more to say about what's going to take place here on earth after we go to be with Jesus. So we're going to spend 2 weeks talking about that. We're just going to kind of get into it this week as we go on into our message. But what we want to look at this morning is what's going to happen while we're up with Jesus dancing with the angels before the throne of God. We see the 24 elders casting their thrones before casting their crowns before the throne of God, and there we are. We're before the Bema Seat judgment of Christ, and we're at the marriage of the Lamb, and we're having just a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. But what's going to be happening on earth? Simply put, all hell is going to be breaking out, right? So we discussed that the rapture of the church doesn't begin the tribulation period, the 7 years. So our timeline here kind of, it looks like that. But in reality, what begins the tribulation period, that seven-year tribulation, is when the Antichrist signs the covenant for 7 years of peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And we're familiar with the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel. And Gene and Cliff have been talking about that and spent a couple of weeks discussing that just recently on Tuesday nights. And I heard that many of you have joined him for that study. So we're kind of up to speed on that. But let's just review the 70 weeks a little bit. You may want to turn with me to Daniel chapter 9. That's where we find this incredible prophecy of the 70 weeks. We call the 70 weeks of Daniel. Verses 24 through 27. Daniel's told, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild or build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood, until the end of the war of desolations are determined. Verse 27, then he, that prince who is to come, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall one be who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So the day that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem to proclaim to the nation of Israel that he was indeed their Messiah, Palm Sunday, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, there were 483 years to the very day after the command came to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the day that Messiah came and presented himself before the Jewish people and he was cut off and crucified. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed just as predicted here by Daniel, and the temple was destroyed as well in 70 AD. So this final week of years, like I said, I'm not going to get into the 70 weeks of Daniel. You could have gotten that study, like we mentioned a couple weeks ago on Tuesday nights, and we've talked about it before. But I just kind of want to refresh our memories. So this is just kind of a quick recap of it. So at the end of the final week of years, those 7 years, that tribulation, the Antichrist is going to confirm the covenant with the nation of Israel for 7 years, and that is what signals the events of the Great Tribulation. So our next slide shows us a little bit more about this time gap. Between the time of the rapture till the time that the actual tribulation begins, it could be weeks, could be months, it actually could be years. We don't know. But before we begin to talk about the first half of the tribulation, which we'll kind of dip into this morning, I want to talk about this gap, what may take place during this gap. We don't know for sure, but there are some things that may take place, and some things we do know will take place during this gap period between the time of the rapture of the church and when the Antichrist appears and signs this covenant with Israel. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." I want you to really think about some of the scriptures I'm going to share this morning, what they're saying. Giving heed to deceiving spirits. What does that look like? Because that's the latter days. That's the days we're living right now. What does that look like? We're going to explore that this morning. Doctrines of demons. What is that? What could that be? Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So we see in the latter days, there will be many that are departing from the Christian faith. Now, we've seen this happening in Europe, widespread, but it's happening right now, today, even today in our own country. This study from Barna is very alarming. If you understand statistics at all, look at this. Today in America, the fastest growing religious group is none. None. This is just 2 years from the year 2013 to the year 2015. America has gone from 37% post-Christian as a society to now 44% post-Christian as a society in 2 years. What is happening? What is taking place in our country? And notice right there in verse 1, it says, they'll be deceived by demons. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit more later at the last part of our message today. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4 says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, And they will turn their ears away from the truth. And what's the end result? They'll be turned to fables. Wow. Fables. Fairy tales. Illusions. Ridiculous lies. That's what's taking place right now in our nation. Turned aside to fables. Why? What had took place before that? They rejected the truth and exchanged truth for fairy tale, for fables. Because people refuse to believe what is true, God will also give those people up to falsehood. And that's taking place right now. That's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate, and I love the leadership of this church. We are so passionate about teaching the Word of God, because the Word of God is our only source of truth. If it weren't for this, we would be believing fables today. And it's important that we know and love the Word. It's important to love it, not just know it, but to love it. And we'll see that more later on as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to love the Word today. Help us to embrace truth more tightly. Lord, to recognize that we live in an age of incredible deception. And Lord, not only is that deception coming after us, it's coming after those we love. It's coming after those we work with, those we live with, those who are in our family, our very family, our friends, our close friends. It's dividing churches even now today. It's dividing churches. Lord, it's dividing families. It's dividing friendships. There are lines being drawn in the sand. And Lord, there is a spirit of deception that is dark and that is very deceitful that is sweeping across our land. And none of us are immune. But by the power of your Holy Spirit and by the word of your truth, Lord, that you would teach us truth this morning more clearly. In Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. It says this, "Now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." It's already here. It's already working. The mystery of lawlessness. "And he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." So we've examined what happens to us in heaven after the rapture of the church. But what takes place on earth? Think about it. And that's what we want to explore a little bit. What's going to take place on earth when millions of Christians are immediately taken off of the planet? What's going to happen here? I believe that there's going to be an incredible shift in world powers. We're seeing that take place even now, and we haven't had any climactic, dramatic kind of circumstance like that take place. But a shifting in world powers. And I believe the Bible talks about that. God is sovereign over nations. And our American society is rapidly declining as the one superpower of the world. Morally, we're declining, spiritually, economically, militarily. And it's very fascinating, and many Bible prophecy teachers have commented on why America isn't mentioned clearly in Bible scripture. It's alluded to here and there maybe, but it's really not mentioned concerning end time events. So why is it that America doesn't seem to be playing a major role in the stage, on the world stage, during that 7-year tribulation period? Why is that? What could possibly happen? We don't know. Could it be a mass chaos because 5 to 10% of our population is all of a sudden evacuated because of those faithful Christians that are here in this this country? Could it be? What is that going to cause to our country? What about financial collapse? Look what the stock market did just because two planes flew into two trade towers in New York City. Look what the stock market did. You know, just because of that rippling effect and then what happened with the housing market, what would happen with millions of Christians all of a sudden being evacuated and left? And their positions, their jobs, their knowledge, their know-how, their wherewithal. Could there be a financial collapse? What about racial tensions? We see that taking place in our nation today. What would happen if we had a nuclear attack or several nuclear attacks? What would happen with a sophisticated electromagnetic pulse attack, or EMP, as some have speculated? Or perhaps what would take place if a combination of these took place at one time? What would happen to the world? And I find it very interesting that Russia now is taking a leading role in the Middle East conflict. Isn't that fascinating? So I think that it seems, according to Bible prophecy, that America is going to be pulled back, somehow restrained, crippled, enabled to be a real major player in the events that are going to take place during the tribulation period. We don't know. It looks like that. Another possibility is the Gog and Magog war. Now, to be honest, you can place this Gog-Magog war in a lot of different positions on this end time prophecy scale. You can place it before the rapture, and some teachers do. You can place it actually at the end of tribulation. Some teachers do. I think it's interesting when we look at it and place it perhaps after the rapture, but before the tribulation actually begins. Now, the Gog and Magog war is problematic because you've got the Israeli people that are burying and burning weapons that are used in that war for 7 years. So there's a lot of little puzzling pieces in the whole of the chapters of Ezekiel 37 through 39. But over 2,600 years ago, think about it, the prophet Ezekiel prophesied that the Jews would be regathered to their homeland, to Israel, over 2,600 years ago. And it would be a time when they'd be securely in the land, and they would be attacked and invaded by a massive coalition of nations that would be intent on plundering them of their resources and their riches and annihilating them as a people. Wow. These nations that are mentioned, according to Ezekiel, interestingly, Russia, Iran, Turkey, Sudan, Libya, and others. Isn't that fascinating? And notice these are all primarily, if you think about it, Muslim nations, with the exception of one, Russia. Very interesting. And some of you might have seen the news just this last week about Russia kind of looking around in Syria for another place to have a base for their airplanes. And Turkey's real nervous about it because of the location of that base. So, I mean, there's all sorts of interesting things we're watching even now as we're looking at the news and what's happening in our day, just setting the stage. It causes us to be feeling just like the rapture is so imminent. But let's take just kind of a little quick walk through Ezekiel chapter 38. I'm going to begin with verse 8, Ezekiel chapter 38. Now, we don't know the exact time when this invasion takes place. Like I say, I'm suggesting perhaps that it might be this little time period here in between when the rapture happens and the tribulation begins, when the Antichrist signs that peace treaty. But the exact time is a mystery. It seems that God kind of holds that card back in his hand, and it's like, I'm not going to tell you exactly when this is going to take place. Listen what God says to the invading nations as they come against his people. in the latter days. Verse 8, after many days you will be visited. In the latter days you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had been long desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you shall make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. So very clearly describing the history of the nation of Israel from 1948 to modern day. Very interesting. And on that day, we're told that Israel literally stands alone. Not anyone will come to their defense. No nation. They are all alone. Their single ally, America, will not come to their offense. Their defense. Why? Verse 13, it says, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away gold and silver, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? So there's these nations that are listed, and many believe that they represent nations, Saudi Arabia, and some of the Western nations. Perhaps even America is alluded to as one of the young lions of Tarshish. In any case, none of these nations do anything to help God's people, this little tiny nation of Israel. Not one of them lift a finger. All they do is question the invading forces as they're gathering their coalition of forces ready to pounce on Israel. It's like, hey, what are you guys doing? But that's it. They just question what's happening. But they're unable, impotent, if you will, powerless, it seems, to do anything about this. But God promises He's going to step in. He's going to save His people. Verse 16, he declares, you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Verse 18, and it will come to pass at that same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep on the earth and all the men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall onto the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down upon him, upon his troops, and on many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. So it appears in verse 19 and 20 that there's a great earthquake. There's infighting among the invading nations. there's going to take place disease, and then there's going to be a difficulty of transportation, of supplies that will be hindered. There's going to be this supernatural flooding, hailstones, fire, brimstone, falling, raining down from the sky upon these armies. And if we were to continue reading into verse chapter 39, but we're not going to do that today, we see that there actually looks like there will be nuclear weapons involved in this as well. So some sort of nuclear rain out and deployment as well. And the weapons of the enemy, we're told, are going to be burned for 7 years, gathered and buried and burned. So this miraculous deliverance of Israel will be the result of what? The power of God, and it's going to cause many to believe in God in that day. So when this attack takes place, think about this. When the Gog and Magog war takes place, and these Middle Eastern nations as well as Russia is involved, now we have again a very crippling of those nations and another shift of powers taking place on the world scene. So now all these shifting of powers is causing this containment that's going to be available now for the Antichrist to rule and reign and make war in the Middle East. It's setting the stage up for the Antichrist to now come and just pretend that he is the friend of the Jewish people. And with these Muslim nations that have come now and attacked Israel and been defeated so badly, you can see where he will have a much easier case to make a peace treaty with Israel during this time. So let's look at that rise of the Antichrist and his power on earth. The Bible tells us there's a day coming when one specific person will literally make this treaty for a 7-year period with the nation of Israel. And we're told in 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So this lawless one, this Antichrist figure, is going to lead the world in rebellion against God. He's going to have power to deceive the multitudes, and he's going to have supernatural powers, we're told. What will those supernatural powers be in? And I've listed scriptural references for you if you want to make a fascinating study of this Antichrist and what his abilities are. I've given you just some of those listed in the scripture references. The first one is intelligence. He's going to be a lot smarter than any of the smartest of the politicians or the world rulers that we've seen in the past. Smarter than Hitler. Smarter than Stalin, smarter than President Obama. Okay. He's going to be a genius at commerce, at economics, and in business. He's also, third, he's going to be a military genius as well. He's going to have power and military genius. Fourth, he's going to be a very charismatic speaker. That seems to be popular in our world today. So he's going to be every bit as charismatic, probably more than Adolf Hitler. So when you see the newsreels and the footage of what it was like in Nazi Germany during those big crusades and gatherings in the Colosseums that they had, that's what it's going to be like in a greater degree, not just confined to one little nation. It's going to be spreading across the globe. He's going to boast and about himself and glorify himself. He's also going to be a political mastermind, number five, a political mastermind. And this is something that's hard for us to wrap our minds around, number six, is he's going to be deceptive with signs and wonders energized by Satan himself. We're not talking about sending the little boy demon to go do the job. because we got a lot of world leaders that have been energized by demonic spirits. But this guy is going to be energized by Lucifer himself. Wow. And he's going to be energized to perform signs and wonders. Wow. And number 7, he will bring together a group of 10 nations from the revived Roman Empire. So he's going to have a coalition of 10 nations from that revived empire that he's going to join with. So that brings us today to something that's close to my heart, and that is the deception that I see. And it's just grieving me how much deception is in our world today. And I find that the more I look at how deceptive the world is, the more I love the Word of God. The more I love the fact that the Lord has given us truth and the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we can't even understand this. The Holy Spirit giving us eyes to see that unction from the Holy Spirit that 1 John says, that you know all things. You have this anointing from Him. So this preparing of the world for the Antichrist. The Bible tells us many things which are going to take place before the Antichrist comes to power. Listen to some of them. Matthew 24, verses 10 through 12. Jesus said, "And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless a falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." So what are some of the things that people are going to cast off when they fall away or reject the truth? What does it mean to fall away? What does it mean to reject truth? What are we giving up for that? First thing, the belief and knowledge of God. Just the acknowledgement of God, a creator, number one. Secondly, Jesus. They're going to cast off Jesus. And certainly, we're told, the return of Christ, mocking his return. They'll think that's a fable, and they're going to believe other things in place of it. Fourth, they're going to cast off saving faith in Christ, saving faith in Christ. Number 5, they're going to cast off sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. They'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. 6, they're going to cast off morals, goodness, and self-control. And 7, true godliness will be cast away. True godliness. Number 8, they will reject and rebel against authority. And like I said, we're already seeing the beginnings of that today, but this is going to increase in the days ahead. The key point, one thing is clear about the deception in the last days, it will increase. That's what's amazing to me, is as much deception as in the world today, we ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to increase exponentially in the latter days. It's going to gain more and more influence and power as the tribulation progresses. So I was actually surprised to find out some of the things I'm going to share with you this morning, that the stage is already being set for powerful deceptions that are going to take place after the rapture of the church. Already the stage is being set for this. And much of the information I'm going to share is from Douglas Hemp Ministries in an article called "The Counterfeit Rapture." And it seems that demons are already at work. We talked about doctrines of demons, giving heed to seducing spirits. They're already at work in our world today. And these demons are posing as aliens, sending messages already to people here on earth. And they're promising to come and help the people of the earth during their hour of greatest need. they'll be here to help. People like Ruth Montgomery, in her book Aliens Among Us, writes about how aliens have communicated with her. She says, "We are coming in great multitudes, not with any intention of harm, but to rescue the Earth from pollution and nuclear explosions." Interesting, the pollution, by the way, one of the aspects of pollution is you and me. We are polluting the Earth in their minds. You'll see it more as the quotes go on. Excuse me. So some like Barbara Marcinek, a popular New Age author and channeler, in her book, Bringers of the Dawns, she writes this. She writes about messages which she claims she's received from extraterrestrials from the star system Palladius. She discusses the disappearance that is coming upon the world. Listen to the messages that they're getting. "The people who leave the planet during the time of Earth changes do not fit in here any longer." Can we say amen to that? "And they are stopping the harmony of the Earth. When the Earth comes, when the time comes, rather, that perhaps 200 million people leave the planet at one time, there will be a tremendous shift in consciousness for those who are remaining." Now, like I said, this isn't what is going to be told after the rapture and during that gap. This is what books that already are printed is saying right now, that they're getting this message from ETs. She goes on to share the reason the ETs are saying that millions of the people will be taking. "If human beings do not change, if they do not make the shift in values and realize that without Earth they could not be here, then Earth, in its love for its own initiation and its reaching for a higher frequency, will bring about a cleansing that will balance it once again. There is a potential for many people to leave the planet in one afternoon. Maybe then everyone else will begin to wake up to what's going on." Did anybody see this movie, Skyline? Yeah. The motto in the movie is, don't look up. Don't look up. Because those who are looked to the light, they get taken. And you don't dare want to be taken. What a reverse of Jesus' words when he says, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near." Isn't it interesting? The complete reversal of all the scriptural truths and the things that we read about in the scriptures that have been written for us for thousands of years, all of a sudden coming as some new thought, but packaged completely in a reversal order. It's amazing. Barbara Marcinek predicts words which will seem very close to Jesus' predictions. Their wording is very close to words of Jesus about what's going to take place at the beginning of the tribulation period. She says this, "As we see it, as the probable worlds begin to form, there will be great shiftings within humanity on this planet. It will seem that great chaos and turmoil are forming, that nations are rising against other in war, and that earthquakes are happening with more frequencies. It will seem as if everything is falling apart and cannot be put back together, just as you sometimes have rumblings and quakings in your own life as you change your old patterns and move into new energies. Earth is shaking itself free, and a certain realignment or adjustment period is to be expected. It will also seem that the animals and the fish are departing Earth. Those animals are now moving over to the new world as it is being formed. They are not ending their existence. They are merely slipping into a new world to await your joining them." Another author, a New Age author and writer, Thelma Terrell, claims to having received messages from a leader of the alien confederation named Astar, who has communicated that earth changes will be the primary factor in a mass evacuation of this planet. Therefore, because of the impending events coming on the earth, Astar says that their alien ships are going to come close enough to actually evacuate people off the earth in the twinkling of an eye. I quote, "Our rescue ships will be able to come in so close enough in the twinkling of an eye to set the lifting beams in operation in a moment. And all over the globe where events warrant it, this will be the method of evacuation. Mankind will be lifted, levitated, shall we say, by the beams from our smaller ships, and those smaller craft will in turn taxi the persons to the larger ships overhead, higher in the atmosphere where there is ample space and quarters and supplies for millions of people." Now, some Christians have even picked up on this and written books for people left behind after the rapture, warning them of these lies. But can you imagine, wait a minute, what about those that are left behind? What are they going to be told? Wait a minute, all hell's breaking out, and this world is going into this massive chaos, and they're going, wait a minute, I'm thinking I would have liked to have gotten out of here. What's happening? Well, the alien leader, Astar, has some news and information for those that are left on Earth during the 7-year tribulation. He says this, "Do not be concerned or unduly upset if you do not participate in the first temporary liftoff of souls who serve with us. This merely means that your action in the plan is elsewhere, and you will be taken for your instructions or receive them in some other manner." Wonder what that could be. Does that include a mark or something? "Do not take it personal or personal affront," he goes on to say, "if you are not altered or are not a participant of the first phase of our plan. Your time will come later. And these instructions are not necessary for you at this time." So apparently this demon Astar has been leaving messages with other people as well. New Age author Kay Wheeler, and she's a channeler as well. She goes by the name of Osmana, and she describes the reason for those people that have been left behind. She says this, "Mother Earth is cleansing. It is all she knows to do at this time to clear herself of the pollution that exists in her body. But you, as light bearers, can help your mother cleanse in such a way that does not destroy all life on the planet. As part of the cleansing process, many people will be removed from the planet so that the planet can move into the fourth dimension. So Earth's population needs to be decreased," he says, "to bring forth the necessary changes for this planet to move on to the fourth dimensions." And so she states in her book that the changes are coming to those who plan to stay, and they must be of this vibration. So the reason that many will leave the planet is because they're not able to go in the fourth dimension. But she says that you shouldn't be sad for them, but rather rejoice, because they're also what is helping the earth now to move forward by their evacuation. And so she says this, "Many of these beings who are leaving this planet at this time have completed that which they came to do. It is a time of great rejoicing for them. Do not feel sad for their leaving. They are going home. Many are waiting to be with them again. Many beings must move on, for their thought pattern is of the past. They hold on to these thoughts that keep Earth held back." Wow. So in other words, these demons are telling people, be happy that you got to stay and the others left because they're of the old thought pattern. But you who are left are now able to move forward into the fourth dimension, this new world that the Earth wants to make and receive of its own so that it can be healthy and progress on. I want to close with these verses from Scripture. Would you stand with me? Listen carefully. The coming of the lawless one, that Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. Can you imagine among those who perish? Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, this is what really is scary, God will send them strong delusion. Like I said, what we're seeing right now in the deception in the world today is nothing compared to what's going to take place when the Antichrist is energized by Satan, and God himself now allows them strong delusion that they should not believe the lie, or they should believe a lie rather, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to embrace truth even more dearly, Lord, and more tightly as we see the days in which we live. And Lord, I pray for us as your precious little flock, Lord, that you would keep us in truth and in the knowledge of you. Lord, we determine this morning to love your truth, to love you, and Lord, to want to know you and to know truth, that Lord, you would keep us from the evil one and from the deceptions of this age, and Lord, that we might be true witnesses for you in a wicked and evil generation. Lord, I pray for every person in our church, Lord, that we would remain faithful unto you until the end. Lord, keep us from the wicked one, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.